been a couple weeks ago now, and I started a sermon on based on some kind of controversy I got myself into on social media and such. But anyway, I don't know that I can finish it up this week, but I'm pretty sure I can by next week, and maybe this week. God is sovereign. He created mankind. He created humanity. He created the nations. He created the ethnicities. He created the races. People don't like that. Addressing it sometimes makes folks uncomfortable. It ought not, if it's something that's in Scripture and addressed by Scripture. And whatever it is, it ought not be something that would make us hateful, because that's not who we're supposed to be. But we are supposed to be discerning. We are supposed to be discriminating. We are supposed to be paying attention to what's going on. And I think there's things we can glean from Scripture. And so I'm going to continue on with this, maybe finish this week, maybe next week. We began the theme, really, from Acts 17:26, a verse that, again, is often quoted, and more often than not, it seems, just half the verse. I mean, I've seen half the verse up on the wall at the Creation Museum. I read on the internet, and you just about scriptures that talk about race, and I just half the verse. Well, it's not just half the verse. And God is the God of all peoples and all nations and all ethnicities. And we should recognize that and praise Him for it. Acts 17:26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation." Well, last week or whenever it was, however long it was, maybe just 1 week, I can't remember, we focused on that first half of the verse. "Hath made of one blood," and that's speaking of Adam, "all nations," all word there is ethnos, ethnicities, and it's a word that includes race and more. God made these differentiations. He made these differences. We shouldn't be upset about it. We shouldn't deny it. God is made of one blood, but we all are kindred through Adam. And I don't believe in the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of mankind. But I do believe that we're all the descendants of Adam. There is a sense in which we're all, after the flesh, brothers and sisters, regardless of what we look like. We all came from Adam. And He has made of one blood all nations, all ethnicities of man for to dwell upon the face of the earth. But beyond that, God made distinctions and differences. You go back to the very first chapters of the Bible, and it talks about God as a God of separation. He separates light and darkness. He separates land and water. He makes distinctions. He speaks of the animals multiplying after their own kind. Of course, we're trying to mess that up too, but you can't do it. God created all of mankind. God created all of the races from Adam. Now, I don't have time to get into all the bizarre theories that come up. And you'd be surprised at things I get asked at the range sometime. But anyway, somebody was asking me if Cain was the first black man because you know, he was cursed. And I don't know if he was a black man or not, but I know that everybody died. And God wiped the face of the earth and start all over with Noah and his boys. So what Cain was isn't that applicable. Now the sons of Noah is more applicable. We don't know all the details of that. We know Noah had three sons. From those three sons came all the races of mankind. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on. I should have got down my old rib pass book that my great-grandpa had. And a rib pass history of the world. And he's got a beautiful full-color page in the front of the races of mankind and whatever. Not that we understand all the details, but we do know we all came from Adam. And God created all the different races from Adam, and that they're different races. And I'll talk about that later, too. I had one friend tell me, well, there's only one race, the human race. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I had another friend tell me, he said, well, we all have the same DNA. No, we don't. We all have DNA that came from Adam. Adam contained all the DNA of all mankind. But none of us have the same DNA. I've got three daughters that received all of their DNA from Diane and I. And none of their DNA is the same. Maybe you should read a book if that's too complicated to figure out. But people got these touchy-feeling things. And so you got to say, oh, it's just one race, the human race. We all have the same DNA. No, we don't. Not only did God create the various nations, He He determined long-term and short-term where they would dwell. And He distinguished them. Again, when we talk about God's will, there's God's revealed will, which tells us that's our obligation, our duty, how we ought to live. And then there's God's decreed will. You know, God's revealed will may show some of these divisions and things that should have been maintained that weren't. And we're accountable to obey His revealed will. But what happened was His decreed will. And we don't know that until it's over. You say, well, what's the decreed will of God? Well, what happened yesterday is included in there. I know that. Nothing happens that God doesn't decree. But we're told in Acts 17 that God determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, brethren, regardless of how this is taken, it refers to distinction, it refers to division, it refers to separation. It refers to place, it refers to land, it refers to soil. Now, I can't tell you how all that happened either. You know, we started all over with Noah and his sons. And then you had the Tower of Babel, and God split everybody up. Now, were there already races then? You know, there's some indication there may have been, but God, but they were all of one tongue. They all got together and kumbaya, and they said, let's all just be one big thing. And God never intended that. And God split them up. And then you can get into the other various understandings of that. God confused their languages, and obviously then they would kind of congregate with people that whom they could speak to. And then the scriptures speak of one individual by the name of Peleg, which is interesting. He was before Babel, and he was after Babel as well. He's mentioned both. But we're told in Peleg's day is when the earth divided. Now, some folks, and again, I don't know all this. I'm careful about going beyond what the Scripture says. But God divided the earth. I mean, even scientists, even atheists acknowledge and recognize what they call continental drift.
You know, you can look, see how North America and South America and Africa, and they all kind of fit together. And some folks say, well, continental drift over a long time, or maybe over a short time. I don't know. God knows those things. God divided, God separated. God intended for there to be distinction. Of course, man's always acting contrary to God's will and way. And some have abused the phrase for the scripture. But if we get back up here and look at Acts 17, there was a phrase that was greatly abused by some, I think. And it would speak, and some still do, and I don't really have an objection to it, of blood and soil. Of blood and soil. Well, that's what that verse up here talks about. Of one blood, God made to dwell on the face of the earth, the soil, and appointed their bounds and habitation. So, there's blood and soil. God made distinctions. God made differentiations. So, again, people abuse things, but I think that term, in and of itself, blood and soil, is scriptural. And I incline somewhat towards, which is a little bit different meaning, but the old southern phrase of kith and kin. There's kith and kin. And we'll talk about that as we get on today and probably next week now, because no way. But Paul had an affection, special affection for his own people. Did that make him bad? Did that make him a fascist? Paul loves his people. His heart's desire that they will all come to the Lord. Now, he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He desired to see them come to the Lord as well. But Paul had a special, special affection for his own people. And I'm getting ahead of myself, and we'll tighten it up next week, maybe. Even the Lord, he goes out and he's dealing with rather close relatives to the Jews. The Samaritans. He's dealing with this Samaritan woman. And some folks would say, well, the Lord was kind of racist when he was dealing with that Samaritan woman. He said, y'all don't even know what you're worshiping. You don't even know what it's about. We Jews, we know. He made a distinction. He said, there's you Samaritans, there's we Jews. Was the Lord being racist? Is God racist? No. That term, and I got to hear my notes a few pages later on, but that term we talked about before, that term racist, it was developed by the Marxist. It was a Marxist term, the Trotskyites, that trotted it out. You know, when you can't win an argument with somebody, what do the liberals do? You're a racist. Well, how do you answer that? What do they even mean by that? But, and it doesn't even have to do with race anymore, I see. It can be economics, it can be education, it could be whatever. They're like, you're a racist because you don't think we ought to have a Department of Education or something. I mean, where does that come from? Well, it came from the Marxists, and I think it ultimately came from the pit of hell. There are realities, listen to me, there are realities that cannot be denied. Some people, I'm not saying they're grand Christians, I don't know that much about them, but there's some people that are willing to recognize those realities and speak out about them. Not that we can fix everything. We can't go back and unscramble eggs. And I'm not saying we should. I'm not saying we need to ship all the black people back to Africa. I care for them. They had a special place here beyond a lot of these recent immigrants. And I think we have an obligation to them. Dare I call it the white man's burden. But regardless, I want to see them do well. And some of them are capable of doing very well. But some of them don't. And we should recognize that. And some of that they don't has to do
with who they are, what God made them. A lot of it in today's age has to do with the American government that destroyed the black family and is working on destroying the white family. I'm getting so far off the field here. But anyway, you'll hear some of these same things again if I follow my notes. Anyway, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Viktor Orban, but he's Hungary's prime minister. And if you ever read about him in the news now, he's never just called Hungary's prime minister. He's called Hungary's far-right prime minister. So, if you believe in traditionalism at all, if you believe in even the basis of Scripture at all, you're far right. That's almost as bad as being racist, I guess. Viktor Orban, he's the prime minister of a European country. European country. He lashed out against the mixing of Europeans and non-Europeans in a speech, and he immediately, of course, drew outrage from the opposition parties and from the European politicians. Orban just said this simply, Hungary is a nation of Hungarians, right? Of Europeans. And Orban said, we Hungarians are not a mixed race. I mean, Hungary was Hungary. Not that there weren't other people there from time to time, and that there, not that there weren't strangers and travelers amongst them. That's not the point. He's like, we want to stay a Hungarian nation. Is that wrong? He says, we are not a mixed race, and we don't want to become a mixed race. He added that the countries where European and non-Europeans mingle were no longer nations. Nations. Now, if we go back to the root of that meaning, as it's translated in Scripture, it's ethnos, again, ethnicities. Orban's saying we bring in all these Arabs, these Muslims, and all these foreign cultures, and we just mix it all together. He said, we're not a nation anymore. I don't know what you are, what you want to call it, but you're not a nation anymore. You're not an ethnos. It's not rocket science. And it's not something specifically against some individuals. That's not the point. From what I've been able to ascertain, I've seen him described variously, but he evidently claims to be a Reformed Calvinist, whatever that means in his view. Regardless, I think his point is in agreement with Scripture. Acts 7:26, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Okay, here's Hungary. This is where the Hungarians are going to be. And the world, the European world, the European Council, and all these other such things say, no, it's not going to be that way. We're just going to mix it all up. It's all going to be one big thing. Well, it's not going to happen, but the Antichrist is going to try to bring it about. And it ain't going to be pretty, but our God's still sovereign. I understand a lot of this confusion has already occurred. But I think the point of Mr. Orban is in agreement with Scripture. And I think we as individuals should be careful not to seek to erase all distinctions and separations. I'll get back to where I mentioned, I think, last time. If you look at the book of Revelation, the various nations and tongues and peoples are still nations and tongues and peoples. John perceives that. He sees that. That's in God's providence. Now, those that are God's, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all one in Christ. we're never going to all be the same. You say, well, when we're all glorified in heaven, are we all going to be just exactly the same? Are you going to be just like me? And Diane's going to be just like me. She went, oh no, she's always shaking her head. Brother Ed's going to be just like me. No! I'm still going to be me. You know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ became a man. And he's still a man. He's still God, but he's still a man. And he is Jesus Christ. Although there'll be differences, scriptures indicate that there will not be the angels and the people in heaven. The Lord addressed that when somebody tried to trip him up one time. You know we don't have relations like the angels don't. Doesn't mean we still don't know, recognize each other. Doesn't mean there aren't distinctions, but that whole sexual thing, if you will, can I say that? I don't know what it means anymore. But it's something that's going to be far surpassed, and I don't understand it all, but I know that. So a lot of this confusion's already happened. I'm often fond of saying when people get themselves in such terrible circumstances concerning human relations of divorce and remarriage and whatever, and you can't unscramble eggs. They say, well, this guy married this girl, and then they got divorced, and he married this girl, and they had a whole bunch of babies, and they divorced her, and then she... And so, how do you sort this all out? You don't. That's why God tells you not to do that to begin with. You can't unscramble all the eggs that we can make in this life. But, listen to me, whether we're talking about race or relations with husbands and wives, you can go on in obedience from where you are. You can't always go back and fix everything. If you can, you should. You should make restitution for evils you did that you're accountable and responsible for. Not those that people tell me I am because my grandpa did something. But anyway, we can't unsort everything. But we can go on in obedience. Let me say this, and I'll say it again. We ought not to condemn an individual. We ought not to ostracize an individual for their particular background. They had no control over that background. You know, you say, well, this person's a half-breed, whatever that means. I always thought I was basically a half-breed. And then I found out that actually, after I took a DNA test, which maybe is not the grandest idea there is, but my DNA test said I'm 99.7% Western European. 99.7, which means the most that I could be at Native American would be 0.3%, which is like 3/1,000. Well, my grandma, the story was I knew her. She didn't die till I was in my 30s, and my kids were all young. She says she came off the Cherokee Reservation. Maybe she did. All kind of things happened back then. But I figured, well, okay, I was saying if she was full-blooded Cherokee, my dad would be half and I'd be quarter. Well, but that wasn't what it is. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it all. You know, folks will say, well, you're a half-breed, whatever that means. God determines these things. And so we ought not to ostracize or judge or condemn people for a particular background over which they have no control. We should seek to help, to assist, to aid them. And then I think of this as well. And I've mentioned all this at one point or another, but I'll mention it again.
The Canaanites were not well thought of people in Scripture. They're kind of condemned as a people, not in, but as a people. The Moabites, you know, their background, you look into it, it's really, really murky. They were some questionable people, incest and whatever that brought about that whole nation. Does not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have Canaanites in his own genealogy? Does not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have Moabites in his genealogy? One of my favorite Old Testament characters, if I could get away with it, I'd probably preach about her every Mother's Day, is Rahab. Yeah, she was a Canaanite prostitute. That's what she was. God saved her. God saved her and grafted her into Israel. She didn't keep on being a Canaanite prostitute. When she was grafted into Israel, she became a mother in Israel. But she was still a Canaanite from her extraction. Our Lord, she was one of our Lord's ancestresses, a direct ancestress of our Lord, Rahab. And some folks get so much into this, you know, racial purity and whatever. And again, I'm saying God's intent and purposes are distinctions and separations. But even you say, I'm 99.7% Western European, but then they break it all down and it's all these other, all the Western European groups. And who knows where all that conglomeration came from. And in a lot of ways, that ain't a whole lot to be proud of when you look at that. My Celtic ancestors were a bunch of pagans. Okay? And I know some folks that get so much into this, you know, into the Celtic thing and into the whatever, and it's that, hey, I want to go back to paganism. Go back to the religion of my fathers. Yeah, that'll send you straight to hell. God's grace. The Lord had Canaanites, Rahab. The Lord had Moabites, Ruth. Got into this again. This fellow at the ranch. I did get to. And of course, he is smart aleck anyway. So I told him about Ruth, and she was a Moabite, and you know, her husband died, and she went back to Israel with her mother-in-law. So your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And his comment was, she must have been a pretty woman. But I don't know. Yeah, she probably was. She's quite Boaz's eye and such, but and a couple other folks' eye. But she was a Moabite. This was all by God's providence. Now, God had said, his decreed will, that he had determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation. But in God's declared will, but in God's decreed will, what he determined is what happened. Here's the point that I would make, and we'll go on from here, I guess, next week. I don't believe that we should deliberately add to the confusion. Confusion is already out there. Folks raise up issues like interracial marriage and whatever. Oh, I can't talk about that! I think we ought to. It adds to the confusion. Is that an overt sin? I don't know that I can prove that. I think I can prove easily that it's not real wise. And I do know that God forbid intermarriage with a lot of the Canaanites and the folks that were around Israel. And yet, he permitted it in some circumstances to his glory. I do know this. We should all go on in obedience from where we are. We should go on in obedience from where we are the very best that we can. Like I said, there was a time when I thought I was a quarter to an eighth Cherokee Indian. My family history had said that. My grandma said that. It came off the reservation. We all thought that. She evidently thought that. But it wasn't true. At least according to modern science. Who knows? But my DNA all comes from Western Europe, except for 0.3%. And they kept playing with that, and now they've got that 0.3% to where it's almost, I think, almost all Native American. So that's three one-thousandths, if I could do math right, about percentages. I was actually disappointed to find out I had such little Native blood. I have no idea what my grandma's circumstances were, but the Lord does. Here's the point. I'm going to talk some more about this. You say, well, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. People don't like it when you talk about that. Well, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. But here's the point. It is all in the providence of God. It is all in the providence of God. I wrote something this week somewhere somebody didn't totally like about the current circumstances and the current administration. And the guy says, well, good luck with that. That wasn't the right thing to say to a Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher. I said, I don't depend on luck. I depend upon the providence of God. He didn't want to take that on. He just wrote back, thank you. And okay, fine. Maybe he thought about that a little bit and said, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But, or maybe he just didn't want to have to deal with it. It's all in the providence of God. We understand that God created the nations. God created the races, the ethnicities. I understand from, I believe, Acts 17:26, we ought not try to obliterate them. We're not going to be able to. But we ought not be out there deliberately working against the revealed will of God. It's kind of like some of these folks that, you know, want to deny Israel and deny that Israel's going to come back. And some folks even say, well, it ought to be turned into a glass parking lot. Listen, you better not be wanting to work against the revealed will of God. I don't think it's got America's business to be over there taking over the Gaza. What is wrong with us? But we ought to stay out of the way. We don't want to be found on the wrong side of this. God is going to do what he's going to do relative to Israel. One fellow I respect a lot writes a lot of things. He's got a whole discussion going on about Zionism and whatever. He brings in Chuck Baldwin and both sides of that issue and the back and forth. This guy has no clue what he's talking about either. I don't know how wise it was just to start this whole thing. Listen, God is going to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. God's going to do what he said. And if you've got to take Scripture and say, well, here, you know, it says the Jews, it just means you and me. No, it doesn't. It means the Jews. And once you start getting into that, well, there's no place you can't go and end up with. It's all in God's providence. God created the nations, the races, the ethnicities. We shouldn't seek to obliterate them. Missionary work done properly, which it usually isn't done properly, at least in my view, missionary work is not only acceptable, it's required. Traveling to and even living in foreign lands is not proscribed. But to go to Hungary and try to make them
Arabia, that's not right. That's like what Orban said. We are a Western European nation. We are Hungarians. We want to stay that way. Doesn't mean that folks can't come and visit and even immigrate to an extent. Missionary work should be done. Traveling to and from is not proscribed. We see examples from Scripture. And I'll wind up here, I think, but I went longer than I usually do. But God warned Israel of bringing these strangers in. Now, did Rahab come in as a stranger? No, she came in as an Israelite. She didn't say, well, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to build me a new whorehouse. And I'm going to build me a little Canaanite. And we're all going to have a... No. She became a mother in Israel. Ruth didn't say, well, we're going to come in here and build little Moab. No. She said, I'll go with you. And your God shall be my God. And your people shall be my people. She didn't say, I'm going to bring Moab into Israel and we'll just kind of mix it up a little bit. And God warned against that attitude. Deuteronomy 28, verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. Listen to this. And then look around what's happening today. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. God warned about not maintaining the separation from these foreign peoples and their foreign ideas. Judges 2, verse 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before thee, but they shall be as thorns in your sight. And their gods, listen, and their gods will be a snare to you. Folks can talk about this conservative Christian in the White House. That is a bunch of bunk. I wonder, again, if these folks were converts, it's one thing. But what about all these Hindus that are coming in to the administration and being raised to high positions? You may not follow this at all, and I'm not an expert on it, but Kash Patel, he's an Indian and he's a Hindu. Still, Vivekar Swami, who's one of the rich guy's sidekicks with the Jay Bhattacharya, who's now the National Institute of Health. These folks, you say, well, they're good people, they're conservative people, they may be, but they're Hindus. Not that America is really truly a Christian nation anymore, but it was founded upon Christian principles. We bring this in, we embrace it, it becomes a snare, it becomes a trap. The vice president's wife is a Hindu. The vice president of the United States, his wife, is a Hindu. Tulsi Gabbard, who... First of all, we shouldn't have these women in positions of leadership. But regardless, as they go, she's pretty good. But she's a Hindu. No, she's not an Indian. I think her background's kind of Polynesian and stuff, but her mother was a Hindu, and she's a Hindu. And there's more and more. There seems to be a little bit more of a reluctance here in America to embrace Islam, so I guess we embrace Hinduism instead. And we're doing it. How many of you take a drive to Newberry and see that new temple off over there? Robbie something, big redden thing, and it's back off the road. They've been... It is a Hindu temple. Here between the little town of Archer and the little town of Newberry, there's a big Hindu temple. In Gainesville, there's about 1% each of Islam and what they call Eastern religions, which means Hindu. Notably, and again, there are things to beware of and to think of and to be discerning about. Notably, only 10% claim to be Baptist. So you got 10% Baptist and you got 2% Islam and Hindu. Those are kind of, don't seem right. Maybe I'm wrong. And then we get into Trump's desire to annex foreign lands. So we're going to bring Gaza in and make it part of America. We're going to bring in Greenland, which is populated by Inuits, natives, with their native religions. Or Panama, Roman Catholics. Which, listen, we stole Panama fair and square. Canada, Lord knows what they are. I could go on and on. What we did in Hawaii and the Philippines, it's just disgraceful. We went over there and we took over Hawaii at the point of the bayonet. We threw all their native leadership out and said, you're all going to be us now. Oh, what a blessing that is, right? Please. Okay, I got to get a little bit ahead of myself because I don't want to miss this, and I'll touch it again next week. But I even read, folks say God's a white supremacist. God is a white supremacist. Look it up on the internet. You'll see these people. God is a white supremacist. God is spirit. He is not white. He is not a white supremacist. God became man. Our Lord Jesus Christ became man. But he didn't become a white man. He didn't become a black man, even though you'll see black theology now. There's black theology out there. There's only theology. They're not black theology like that. Our Lord became a man. He became a human. He became a Jew. All folks don't like that. Well, I can't fix that for them. But God certainly is not a white supremacist. Oh, they accuse God of that because the only reason that I think Western culture's been blessed at all is because it became largely, at least externally, Christian. Not because we're better or smarter or anything, but because it became Christian. And as we move away from being Christian, that's it. I didn't bless us because we were better or better looking or anything else. Okay, I don't have time to keep on. And I probably should save my voice a little bit. Our God is sovereign. We can trust in Him. We can rest in Him. We shouldn't seek to add to the confusion, but we shouldn't seek to be ugly and contrary and hateful. Thankfully, those that are His are all one in Christ. But we're not all of the same. There's still male and female. Not in Christ. Not within Christ in our salvation, but we're still male and female. Now, some people take that scripture out of context and said there ought to be women preachers. Well, then if there should be women preachers, you're still acknowledging male and female, right? I don't understand. But anyway, There's neither Jew nor Greek. Well, there are. But in Christ, we're all brothers and sisters. But God still makes distinctions. And we should acknowledge those. We shouldn't be afraid to acknowledge those, to make those distinctions. And I'll talk about some of them next week as we go on. I'm sorry it's taken me so long to finish this up. And I'm thankful I was able to make it this far today, though. Thank God for the opportunity to gather. We'll take our hymnals, if you will. We'll stand and sing together number 371. Through the Love of God Our Savior, number 371. Father, we thank you for this day and the privilege to gather together. Thank you for those who were ill and that were feeling well enough to be together. Pray, Lord, for those that are sick, my daughter and her family, Nita and the boys at home. Father, we thank you for your sovereign grace and love that we can rest in thee, that we can trust in thee. Lord, help us to seek to walk in accordance with your revealed will. Through those, thus saith the Lord of Scripture, to trust in thee to bring forth your decree and to accomplish what you've determined. Thank you, Lord, for the love you have for your people. Lord, for the family of God, for your church. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the brethren, for the work of the Spirit. Lord, thank you most for the atoning death of our Savior, for what was accomplished on our behalf. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.